Good morning again, everyone. Folks, I feel a little bit scattered this morning, so I want to ask you to pray for me so that that doesn't come out. Sometimes we might be thinking something and the words just aren't connecting, so I hope that's not the case this morning. I want to ask you to pray for me as we go through the service. And folks, our message this morning is titled, Men Ought to Pray. We ought to always to pray. So I want to talk to you about our prayer life and how it affects each of us individually and how it affects others. Now, if you were listening, he had no way knowing, but Brother Terry basically just prayed my whole message this morning. Thank you for your prayer. It uplifted me. So, folks, I want you to be conscious of prayer. And you all have an insert that was given to you, or most of you should have gotten it. And it's not completely updated, but it is a list of members here at the church. And I just want to give you an example. If you take that list and you take all the ones that are listed on our prayer list on the back of our bulletin, if you took two of those listings each and every day, what a blessing it would be for those people if you prayed for them. And I want to encourage you to do that. You can make it a personal goal. Take one name or two names, however it may be, for the next 30 days, pray specifically for whoever it is that you pick, and then just check off that name. And I don't know that you could get through it in 30 days, but going through that type of an exercise opens our eyes to the urgency and to the need of prayer. So now as we turn to our message this morning, I have several messages that will validate, I think, what I'm trying to convey to you this morning, the urgency and the need of prayer. But first, I want to turn to a familiar passage that should be memorized by most Primitive Baptist people. It should be a marker verse in your Bible that you can turn to constantly. I know I've used it quite a bit, and everybody that's filled this pulpit has used this passage, Ephesians 2:8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Now, folks, that's very illustrative, and it's very eye-opening. I think it's very instructive. We are saved by grace. We all know that. This is a gift from God. We didn't earn it, but God loves us. He knew us before the foundation of the world, and he has blessed us in Christ Jesus. And in verse 10 again, it says, for we are his workmanship. Now, if you'll notice Ephesians 2:10 from a different translation, listen to how this verse is translated. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, if you think about that word masterpiece, if you think about, at first it might seem dissettling because it's different. But folks, we are made perfect in Jesus Christ, not in yourselves. So you have the fingerprints of God on you because he knew you before you were ever born. And in Christ Jesus, you are a masterpiece. And folks, we were created for not just for us. We were created because God loved us, his children, but he created us for a purpose. And that is to do good works. Or here, it's in this other translation, it says to do the good things planned long ago. There is no Christian walking this earth that should ever say, what is my purpose? Why am I here? We are here because God knows you, God loved you, God created you, and you have good works to do. Just one of the many good works I want to talk about this morning is the power of prayer. Because it is a good work that you were created to do. Now, I've approached this subject a few times in the past saying similar things. All of us, regardless of our age, our health, our circumstances, can pray. So, folks, I want you to consider what are you praying this morning. So I have a few passages that I think reemphasize what I'm trying to tell you. This is another verse that if you have your Bibles, I hope that you have marked it. If not, put a tab in it. Turn to it frequently. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. And folks, before we even read it, I want you to understand this is addressed to a church, but it applies to families, to churches, to our community. It applies really to everybody. Because you can all identify with each description that's given here. You could apply it to somebody that you know. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all men. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, folks, I hope you noticed there was no qualifiers there. There were no exemptions for your circumstances. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. Does it say only when I feel good? Or when I'm happy? Or if I feel richly blessed? It says give thanks in everything. And rejoice always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And folks, we could make this a sermon by itself, but it's not. I'm giving these to you until we get to our main passage. But it's emphasizing the need of prayer. This should apply, in your mind, I hope it's filling in the blanks of each description. Who does this apply to in your family, in your work life, or here at church? What are you praying for? Our next passage that I want to read specifically tells us to pray for the church. So I hope you're going over in your hearts right now, what is it that I do pray for? Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Again, notice how Paul starts out this passage. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Think about what Paul is saying here, folks. Here Paul is a prisoner. He's chained. Yet this is one of the letters that he sent out to the Colossian church. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful. When we're being watchful, we can better identify the things we need to be praying over. And be thankful. You see how they go together? Prayer and gratitude go hand in hand. When you're praying, folks, you ought to be suddenly imbued with the knowledge of all the things you have to be thankful for. You know, we are spiritual people. God created us. So just like in the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we pray for our daily bread. Folks, prayer is our daily spiritual food that we need to strengthen us to keep our relationship with God in the proper place where it should be and to make it grow each and every day. It is your spiritual food. It is a time you have to go before the Lord. And folks, one of the things that you should be praying for is for the church. We've been saying we pray that the Lord will touch somebody in our community to come. Isn't this what Paul just said to be praying for? That our message may be heard. And of course, we need to pray that for all churches, not just ours. But we need to be praying for the church. But folks, then we need to pray for others. So are you? Now, I just asked that you would start that on your own. But listen to the words of Jesus again as we go back to what our call to worship passage was. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 43 through 45, and you know, this is a little bit of a difficult thing to do. Can you do it? You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You see, folks, operative word there was pray. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Love your enemies. It's hard to do. It's hard. You know, I don't know if you raised your hand right now. Can you say that you truly have an enemy in this life? Now, perhaps you do. But many of us don't. We may have people that we may not think the most of, that we may not particularly care for, or that we may have disagreements with, but that doesn't make them your outright enemy. When Jesus spoke these words, there were enemies. They were trying to kill the Jews. They were trying to kill all of his followers. They were trying to kill Jesus. There were real enemies there. But yet, Jesus is telling them to pray. You know, if we truly prayed for our enemies, not knowing what the circumstances truly are in their lives, but if we prayed for God to bless them, we might have a lot fewer enemies than what we have now. There might just be a lot more getting along than what there seems to be. You know, when somebody's done you wrong, it's easy to hold on to that, isn't it? But in this last verse, in verse 45, he's telling us, and I'm going to paraphrase this, God has been so merciful to us and has forgiven so much in our lives, we need to show that same kindness and mercy towards those that may have wronged us. You see, he forgives our sins. And our reward is in heaven when we forgive others. We need to remember that too. And we'll come back to that in just a little while. But pray for your enemies. So folks, now I have a question I want to ask you. Just from driving in, who did you pray for today? Think about it. Who did you pray for today? You know, in these passages that we've shared already, we've seen the need to pray for everybody, which includes yourself. The need to pray for our enemies. That's part of others too. The need to pray for our church. You see, the need continues to grow and to grow. Paul addressed this also in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men. I want to stop right there. See, he's addressing it to everybody. He's telling us to pray. It, when you make an intercession for somebody, you're praying for somebody that has a great need. It could be a person that's going astray. It doesn't matter what the need is. Paul is saying, first of all, and he's exhorting them that all supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks. How oftentimes, folks, are we thankful for the people in our lives? If we're thankful for them, we need to be praying for them. Thanks be made for all men. And then he continues, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and reverence. He's telling us to pray for everybody. So now I want to take a little diversion here. I just want to ask you, who are you praying for in our society? You know, we are in a very tumultuous time right now, politically speaking. Now, I don't know who watched it, and I'm not trying to introduce politics into the church at all, so please don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. But President Trump, at his the speech he gave to the Republican convention, I think, on Thursday night, he said, I shouldn't be here, talking about the assassination attempt on his life. He said, I shouldn't be here. But the crowd shouted back, yes, you should. Yes, you should. Yes, you should. And folks, I want to take that back for just a moment. We all have a purpose, both the godly and the ungodly in life. We all have a purpose. And in three of these passages that I've referenced, pray for all men, pray for your enemies, pray for kings and those in authority. Have you prayed for former President Trump? He said, thank you to everyone for your thoughts and prayers. It was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening. Now, maybe there, through this occurrence, humility has washed over this man. I don't know. Have you prayed for President Biden? You know, whether you support President Trump or President Biden, it doesn't matter. Either one of them have a high probability of being our president in the next few months, and we need to be praying for them. All men, kings, and all those who are in authority, we need to be praying for them. You see, especially in our divided country right now politically, people elevate politics so high that just because somebody has a different perspective, they make them an enemy. And folks, that's wrong. We can have the way we look at things, different perspectives, but that doesn't make us enemies. But some people won't even pray for the other political party. Whoever is in power, we need to pray that God will lead them down the right path. I've heard President Biden reference God. He says he's a devout Catholic. I've heard former President Trump reference God more than at any point in my life. And when I watched that convention, most every speaker talked about God too. When the Democrat convention's held here in a few weeks, I hope to see the same thing there. But folks, are you praying for your enemies? Both of these men are very imperfect. They both have a lot of skeletons in their closets. But the heart of the kings are in the hands of God, it tells us in Proverbs. And he twists it any way he chooses. So are you praying for whoever is in power? You know, whoever is in power, if he's not walking a godly path, it will be bad for us. But if the person walks down a godly path, it will be for our betterment. Pray for those who are in power. Don't call them an enemy. Be thankful for all men, regardless of what you think of them. And folks, I tell you all that, and now think on this next passage, because you have been told to pray, not for me, but from the Bible. And James tells us, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So folks, if you are not praying for people and you know that you should be, you're not doing right. And that doesn't just include your family or your church. Pray for all men. Pray for our country, folks. And then Matthew chapter 21 through 41. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, when you start thinking about somebody you don't like, and you move them from somebody you don't like, it's easy to suddenly move them over there to be an enemy. And you're not praying for them the way you should be. We need to be praying for all people. We need to be watchful, and we need to pray. And resist that temptation as we consider those people that we should be praying for to start judging their lives. We need to pray for people. Now, folks, if you do everything I just said, it gets a little tiring, doesn't it? Life can be tiring at times. You know, sometimes we go through ups and downs and upheavals, and we fall out of prayer the way, at least in the way that we should be praying. Sometimes we just plain get tired in general. Sometimes our health is failing. And we're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we only start thinking about ourselves. We're not praying the way we should. Folks, have you ever reached a point in your life where you just feel like you don't even know what to pray anymore? Well, I hope this next passage will give you a little bit of comfort, because, folks, I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you reach that point in your life, you just need to go in the closet and just start talking with God. You don't have to have a structured prayer. You just need to pour out your heart before Him. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. You see, if we pour out our hearts, God knows what's on our hearts anyway. Sometimes you may think you don't have a coherent thought to make a prayer, but God looks on the heart. God knows what is on the heart. And it says specifically right here that the Spirit makes intercessions for us. So folks, just pour out your heart before the Lord. Go to God in a conversation. Even when you think that's difficult and hard to do. Now folks, I want to turn to the main passage for the rest of this morning. It's found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. And I think it'll be in a much more concise way demonstrative of what I've been trying to express to you. The need for prayer. And this is a parable. It's sometimes called the unjust judge. Other people call it the persistent widow. The persistent widow. We're going to read all of chapter 18 because you see, folks, there are two parables back to back. And there's a reason for that. There's the parable of the persistent widow, but then there's also the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Both of them are about prayer. So let's begin reading, and then we're going to go back and just make some observations. Verse 1, chapter 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So folks, right there, Jesus is saying that men ought to always be praying, just as we've seen in these other verses. We need to be in continuous prayer every day of our life and not lose heart. See, when the difficult times come, we shouldn't lose heart. We need to remember who we're praying to. And now he gives us an illustration. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now folks, I want to stop there for just a minute and make some observations just on this part. Now in the Gospel of Luke, well, let me say this first. Jesus is talking about persistent prayer. It's not the first time he's done this. Back earlier in chapter 11, he gave the parable of the friend that comes at midnight, knocking on the door persistently and wouldn't go away. Now Jesus, in a similar vein, is telling us this parable, this story about this widow. And folks, a widow in those times had it very, very hard. She had it very hard. But at the very beginning, he's telling everybody who's listening that we ought to pray and not lose heart. Just like we read in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Are we, I guess I would ask. But now folks, to observe just about this widow, something bad had happened to her. She had an adversary. She had, I guess you'd call it an enemy. Somebody had taken advantage of her. And she's wanting justice. So she's going to the only place where she could go, to a judge. Now she wasn't a person of wealth. And folks, especially if this was a Pharisee, I don't know if it was, but it was a judge. But oftentimes in this time period, the Bible is pretty clear, justice wasn't always served. There was a lot of favoritism when it came to the courts. And the poor, in particular, weren't always given justice. But she kept going. She kept going and asking the judge, "Get justice for me." And it says here specifically, verse 4, "And he would not for a while." So she made repeated attempts. She didn't give up. She kept going to the person who was in authority. She kept going and going. Her need must have been great, whatever had happened to her. But she was seeking justice. And who was she going to? The character of this judge, he didn't regard God. He didn't fear God and he didn't fear men, is the way Jesus described this. So you might say this is the unjust judge. That's where that other description comes from. He wasn't a good man. He probably did take a lot of bribes, as was customary. Well, I shouldn't say customary, but it happened at that time. But yet she would not give up. She didn't have anything to come and bribe the man with, but she was petitioning him for justice. And she wouldn't stop. And verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He was going to hear her case because he just wanted to be done with it, because she was so persistent and wouldn't go away. You see, he had no concern about administering justice. He just wanted to be done with the matter. So he was going to hear it just to be done. But then Jesus says in verse 6, hear what the unjust said, the unjust judge. I will hear the matter. I'm paraphrasing now. I will hear the matter. I will avenge her, so I will be done with it. And Jesus says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Now, folks, I want you to think about that passage for just a moment. Are you pouring out your prayers day and night? It says here that though he bears long with them. This woman, who knows the time span it's taking in this parable, before the judge finally hears her case. But it wasn't a day or two. It took a long time. Folks, sometimes in our lives, it takes a long time when we feel like our prayers are answered, doesn't it? Jesus is saying that we ought to always pray and not lose heart. He tells us, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? We can't always explain why the timetable is different than our timetable. We just know that it is. So, folks, do you lose heart when these things occur? Has your faith been weakened because you feel like I'm praying and I'm praying hard and God's not answering my prayers? But he says that God hears our prayers, though he bears long with them. And yes, he will avenge them speedily. But God's timetable is not our timetable. And, folks, just because things aren't answered according to the way you think they should be is not a reason to quit praying. It's not the reason to stop praying at all. Sometimes, folks, we have to recognize that our faith gets weak. We're just human people, and we get wore down by life. And that's the reason that others, we need to be praying for others so that we can be strengthened and continue on when the days are hard or it feels like we're enduring a long trial. Oftentimes when our faith is weak, our prayer life comes to a halt. Or we just pray very shortly, not even believing what we are asking the Lord to give to us or for somebody else, depending on the nature of your prayer. But I want to remind you what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Don't stop praying. Don't lose heart. In Proverbs 15:29, for the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Folks, God hears your prayers. Again, it may not be on the way that you want, but he will answer your prayer. Don't stop praying. But now I also want to bring you to the next parable because they go hand in hand. Sometimes we've got to look at the condition of our hearts. What are we praying for? How does the Lord view us when we're praying? What is the condition of our hearts here this morning? Maybe our prayers aren't being answered because of something that we need to address in our life. Which brings us to the next parable. Parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, starting in verse 9. And see, notice how these flow one to the other. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. What a wicked heart. What a wicked description. Right then, as God's children, who is it that we look for to be made righteous? We read it in the very first opening verse. It's in Christ Jesus that we are perfected and made a masterpiece, not in ourselves. So if you're thinking that you're righteous within yourself, well, you are in enmity with God right there. And no, he won't hear your prayers. Or despised other people. Jesus has already said to pray for your enemies. So folks, what's the condition of your hearts this morning? Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Stop right there. Folks, if you go to God in prayer and you're reciting your resume or all the reasons why you're worthy, you are in a bad spot and you need to take a long, hard look at yourself because you are not worthy of anything but being rewarded for sin. The blessings that we have each and every day in our life is because of God's mercies that are new each and every day, which is all the more reason when we pray we need to be thankful. So are you thankful for what you have, recognizing that it is by God's benevolence, his kindness and mercy towards you that you have what you do, and not because you deserve it? If you are praying out of a spot of entitlement, then the Lord is not going to answer your prayers because you are entitled to nothing based on your own works. But through Jesus, God will hear your prayers. So how do you evaluate yourself? Who are you trusting in? I pray that you're trusting in God. And though you may be as pious as this Pharisee thought that he was, all of our good works are as filthy rags, the Apostle Paul tells us. And then he goes to the tax collector. And folks, you know the story of the tax collectors. They were considered traitors because most of the tax collectors were Jewish people who were taxing and extorting their brothers and sisters. So they were the worst of the worst. They were despised. But look at what this tax collector did. Standing afar off, he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, he recognized what he was. And he knew the only place to find mercy is at the throne of God. And the only place to find forgiveness was from God. So he's praying. Humbly, he's praying. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So folks, I'm going to tell you, if your heart is tainted with doubt, if it's tainted with animosity, with contempt, with pride, you're going to struggle in your prayer life because there are things that you need to address in your life. You need to maybe start praying, God, please open my eyes and create in me a clean heart so that he will hear your prayers. Now, folks, in closing, I want you to turn to me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And this was the Lord's Prayer. It's also called the Model Prayer. And we're going to go through it quickly. You can make a week-long sermon out of this passage. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And when you pray, and if you notice as Jesus starts off, when you pray, there's no option given. He doesn't say if you pray, he says when you pray. So it's a command. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. They wanted to be seen by people and praised by people. They got it, but God didn't respect the prayer at all. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Folks, right there, I just want to insert. Sometimes when you don't know what to pray, just close the door. Get on your knees and start talking to the Lord. And I think it's going to come out of your heart. In this manner, therefore, pray. And folks, when he says in this manner, this is you can call it a template. It's an example. But it is not for you just to memorize and pray with no other thought attached. But let's go through this. Our Father in heaven. As a believer, God is your Father. You were created before the foundation of the world. And our Father is in heaven. So we need to recognize that God is above us. He is in heaven and we are down here. His ways are higher than our ways. And His name is to be called hallowed. That means to be respected and to spoke with reverence and a little bit of fear and trembling. Hallowed is the name of God. And you are not to take the name of the Lord in vain or even flippantly in conversation. He is your God. He is your Father above. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you see Jesus telling us again that God's ways are higher. Pray for God's will to be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I think we talked about that already. Have you forgiven anybody? Are you holding on to old grudges? To old grievances that might be hindering your prayer life? You need to think about it. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And folks, He's not going to hear your prayer. If you're going to God, I don't care how fervently, if you have not forgiven the people in your life, if all you do is focus on being a victim, thinking that people have treated you unfairly, unjustly, and you are not praying for those people, as He said earlier, who despitefully use you, for anybody that you may put in this enemy category, then you are going to have issues with your prayer life. To summarize this, folks, we do not pray the things we don't do. You don't pray to be seen by others. You come before God humbly, recognizing God's mercy and His grace each and every day He gives you. The very breath you have to even say a prayer is because the Lord gave it to you. Tell the Lord your needs, knowing that He already knows what you need before you go to Him in prayer. But thank Him. Thank Him for what He has already blessed you for. That's what a humble heart does. You start and recognize it, how blessed you are already. Thank Him. Pray that the Lord's will be done. Because you know, sometimes folks, we start praying for something and it seems so dear and hard for us. We want it so urgently. But God knows better. God knows better. He is our Heavenly Father. So we should always be praying, God, your will be done. Open my eyes. Help me to know what to pray for. You see, it goes back to that conversation. The more we are in a conversation with God, the more what we want aligns with God's will. And we know what to pray for. Folks, pray with a clean heart that holds no grudge, but has forgiven other people. And you know, and I'll say it again because this political season, it might be very hard for you to pray for either President Trump or President Biden or Kamala Harris or whoever may be out there. but pray for them, folks. We need to look beyond ourselves. If we do so with a clean heart and we are persistent, the Lord will hear our prayers. And as we close, I just want to give you one example of this. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 13, Israel had gone into such a horrible state of worshiping other gods that God punished them severely. The Babylonians overran them and took them into captivity. For 70 years they were in captivity in Babylon, which is modern day Iraq. That's where they were living, subjugated and in slavery. But in verse 10, he tells us thus, and he's speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, you know, 70 years. It goes back to that persistence. God's timetable is not always our timetable. But that was what he decreed for their evil, evil, evil behavior. They were in captivity for 70 years. But what does he tell us next? I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you a future and a hope. So folks, stop. If you just don't read any further, you might be in a very uplifted position in life and place and happy and content, but you might be in a little bit of a dark and despairing place. Don't give up hope, because God has his eye on you, and God knows your needs before you bring them in prayer, but he wants to hear your prayers. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Folks, with all your heart. There are some conditions with that, and we already went through the list. But I'm going to encourage you, clean your own heart first. And then pray without ceasing for everybody. For your family, for your friends, for our church, for the church members. As Brother Terry said in his prayers, we never know what burdens another person is carrying. But pray for those people. There is strength when we pray for other people. You don't know what wonderful blessings might come into just the people sitting here today, because you took time to pray for that person. There is power in prayer. And I want to encourage you to pray. Take the list that you have on the handout. Take your bulletin home with you. And make it an exercise to pray for these people, no matter how long it takes. Take one day and pray for somebody. Now I'm going to ask you to pray specifically for our church again, and for somebody out here in the community, that God will focus on a person and touch them and send them here to our church. And folks, again, I want to encourage you to pray without ceasing for yourselves, because we all need the Lord in our lives. Each day he gives us his eyes on us. What pathway will you choose to walk? Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's hard to walk that straight and narrow path in a very perverse and ugly world. But folks, you are the light of the world. And other people see and evaluate the way we walk. Pray for strength that we will walk according to God's will and not our own. May the Lord add his blessings to this message, is my prayer.